Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I like preaching through books of the Bible as well. And I always switch. I'll do an Old Testament book, then a New Testament book, and back and forth. And that does help me to handle verses that I wouldn't probably normally handle, that I don't necessarily will pick out, that are obscure and man, or hard to exegete and those type of things. But I just, my dad, I grew up with my dad pastoring full time. It's one of the reasons why I didn't want to be a pastor. I always used to tell people some of the meanest folks I've ever seen in my life are Baptists. I just did not want to be a part of it. And of course, the Lord called me to this and I surrendered that call. But I just made it a point early on that I would never shy away from preaching God's word, no matter the outcome. I always want to just lay my head on my pillow at night. If I ever get fired for preaching the word of God, then I could go to bed, I think, with a smile on my face. And this, you're right, in some senses, it may be not as of now, but it's been like this, and it will be. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, there's coming a time when they want itching ears, they'll not endure sound doctrine. He said, preach the word in season, out of season, just preach the word, convict, rebuke, extort. Acts, you see this in Acts where the disciples, they said, stop preaching. We're not going to preach. We fear God more than man, right? We're not going to stop preaching. And so I've just tried to have that in my mindset. And I think practically speaking from a pastor, I've been preaching now for a long time, and I've never been set down by deacons or personnel committees and said, you're not preaching God's word, or we don't like what you're preaching. However, I've been set down because of numbers and budgets and people leaving and people coming. And there's sometimes that sense of production that people look for, because how can you tell if a church is faithful or not? I mean, if a church is running 10,000 and the next church down the road is running 10 and they're both preaching God's word, they're both faithful. You know, I told somebody today, Peter preached a sermon and 3,000 people got saved. Stephen preaches a sermon a little later, he got killed. Well, who was more faithful, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I tell people, it's Jesus's job to build the church. Our job is just to be faithful. And that's going to look differently in different contexts. But I think sometimes we get sucked in that fear of man that, oh, we're not making budget, we're not... people have left, not a whole lot of people have joined. I read the other day that 15% of people leave your church every year. It statistically happens. And so there is, I've been sucked into that before this production is not where it needs to be. But ultimately I'm just saying, and other men that are listening, they may have the context different. That's my job, as you said, Mike, is to preach. Another man's job is to build and bend metal at his work, where the boss has said, you can't talk about Jesus here. To me, he's got the harder job. I'm getting paid to do this, right? He's going to get fired if he does it. So how does that guy, and maybe you follow up with this, Mike, how does a normal man listening, who maybe is a teacher or metal worker, who can't talk about, or was told he can't, I mean, maybe we should speak to that, because we get paid to do this, and there's coming time we may not, but for the most part, as of now, it is.
Yeah, I've said before that I should not get a medal for courage when I stand up and speak boldly about the sanctity of marriage,
right,
the sanctity of human life, holiness, righteousness, et cetera,
yeah,
in part because I'm in a church, I'm blessed to be in a church where my job would be in jeopardy if I failed to address
those things.
So it takes for me to stand up and boldly preach, the truths of the scripture, takes a lot of things. It takes work. It takes preparation. It takes study. One thing in my church that it does not take is an awful lot of courage, in the sense that I'm not like some pastors who may preach truth knowing that their job may be on the line. And because of some deep-pocketed deacon or whatever. So you're exactly right that I don't face the fear of being fired for being faithful on my job, but there are plenty of men here who are, and I just try to tell them to be as faithful as you can be, to the opportunities that God gives you. Do your job in a way that promotes excellence. Do the way that you treat your coworkers can be a gospel witness. And if you're only if you limit your evangelistic ministry to your coworkers to only the time that you're on the clock, then maybe you weren't a great effective witness to begin with.
Yeah.
Perhaps the boss says you cannot talk about Jesus while you're at work. That doesn't mean that I can't be the hands and the feet and the face of Jesus to my coworkers and look for opportunities to invest in their lives when I'm off the clock.
Yeah.
And I believe that God honors that.
Yeah, right. I agree.
You know, thinking about Kingdom Impact, and I know you've been involved in Southern Baptist life, Georgia Baptist life, and you have faced some challenges. You faced some, you know, opposition in terms of your leadership and the roles you've played. And I just want to say thank you for how you've led in those. You've been an example to a lot of us who've just, you know, prayed for God's will and maybe saw it differently than other people saw it. But we felt like you led with courage and conviction during those times. You have anything you want to share about some of those challenges that came up with recent days in Southern Baptist life, or maybe just some things that really got you through some great difficulty?
Well, maybe just a quick story, just one quick anecdote that may apply to men who are not in vocational ministry. But on one occasion, I was serving in a high position among Southern Baptists, and a really big name person stopped me in a back hallway at a meeting. And he referred to some of the other big name, high profile leaders. He said, "Mike, they don't know how to take you." And I said, "Well, let me help you. I don't mean this arrogantly, I really don't. But let me help you understand how to take me." Nashville, which is the headquarters of the Southern Baptist Convention in terms of corporately, we know the local churches biblically as the headquarters, but I said, "Nashville doesn't have anything that I want, and Blackshear doesn't have anything that you can take. I don't need a cover letter for my resume, a forward for a new book. I don't need a recommendation to some other job. There's nothing that you can offer me positively that's going to entice me. There's nothing that you could threaten me with negatively that's going to scare me." And the world, including the religious world, often doesn't know how to respond to people like that,
right,
who are comfortable in their own relationship with God, firm in their own convictions, and aren't looking to go somewhere else. I tried to adopt, and I've preached this for years, that for a child of God, the only standard, that is the only measure of success for a Christian, is obedience. If you can, if you can stand in the presence of God and say, "I did to the best of my ability what you commanded me to do, I have obeyed you," that is the definition of success as a Christian. Sometimes that means you may win, sometimes you may lose. Sometimes people may come, sometimes they may go. Sometimes the offering is up, the offering is down. Sometimes your kids respond with respect, honor, and reverence, and sometimes they may respond with rebellion and hurt and prodigal living. But my success, whether it's as a dad, a husband, a pastor, a preacher, a Christian, is measured by just one thing. Have I been obedient to what God has commanded me to do?
Amen. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, thinking about that's that good. And the impact we can have in all those areas, I just, you know, there's a legacy that we can lay down and you know, hopefully, as you look in Proverbs 29, where that verse is, 29:25, you know, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe," is a promise in God's word. But also it says, where there is no vision, no divine revelation of God, in Proverbs 29, verse 18, the people perish or cast off restraint.
Yeah.
And I really believe if we are men of God that live and with scripture in mind and obedience as a heartbeat to the Lord Jesus, and we do paint a picture of vision and hope for those coming behind us. And I think part of that's what this current culture is looking for. There's a, you know, seems to be a rise of young men wanting clarity, wanting conviction, wanting truth. And maybe for that young man out there who's not married yet, maybe considering marriage, maybe a family, what is one thing you guys can give him as he looks at this world we live in and the confusion in which he's living under in some ways? How can he go be that man of God who does not find himself in a snare?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say just from the very beginning to, as the writer of Hebrews says, to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith, because the kind of woman that you want to marry is looking for a man like that. The kind of kids that you want to have, they need a dad like that. And you need to be faithful to serve in the context and the life circumstance that you're in right now. You don't become a man of God when you get married. You don't become a man of God just because you have children. You need to be a man of God when you're in your car, in your turkey blind, in your deer stand, in a hotel room with your cell phone. When you're by yourself, you've got to be committed. You're going to be a man of God there and trust that that will manifest and overflow in those other situations and circumstances on the job, in the home, in the church. But folks, it's just, I want to be a man of God and be right with God and live for the approval of heaven.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I come behind that, especially for a young man. I mean, Justin, you talked about one of the more viewed podcasts that we did was on sexual purity. Just as you said, Mike, for that obedience in the closet, that obedience in the home, that obedience in the deer stand, wherever it may be. You know, I think it's Hebrews 11 that says he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because we live in a, and we alluded to this last time, we live in an upside down kingdom, right? Where winning looks like losing, losing looks like winning. But if we're obedient to the Lord Jesus, we really never lose, right? And so I think it's one of those things for the young man that wants to be the man of God in public. Oftentimes, and we talked about this, Keith, before, and it's been said before, a lot of men want to be in authority before they're under authority. And to be under authority by the Lord Jesus Christ and be committed to his word when no one's looking, and the Lord Jesus talks about rewarding those who diligently seek him and those who are in the private. So I'll tell that man before, it's not an either or, it's both. But before you really want to be that strong vocal leader to that wife or to the kids, are you seeking the Lord privately? Or how's your own heart? How's your own quiet time? So I would really encourage him to be obedient when no one's looking, because that's a sign of true character anyways.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, and I would say this. I teach that my goal as a husband is to help my wife do and be what Jesus has called her to do and to be. Yeah. And to make her a better Christian, a better Christ follower, because she was married to me. Part of that means if God has called her to submit to godly leadership in the home, I ought to be able to say to her, if you want to know what godly submission looks like, watch me submit to Jesus. When it's something I don't want to do, when it's something that doesn't give me initial pleasure, when it's something that cuts against the grain of my own preferences, watch me yield my life and submit to Jesus. And then, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Good.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your time, brother. I appreciate your ministry in so many ways. Yeah. We're going to have you in September at Sanctuary Hills, your first time up here. You've been on Pastors in the Outdoors retreats out in Nebraska, but it's going to be great to have you up here in Tennessee and help lead a shepherd's retreat for us for expositional preaching and just leadership that way. So we're looking forward to have you in September. Yeah. And amen. Thank you for that time we're going to have you there. Mike, would you mind closing us out, brother?
Yeah, I won't. You're talking about this mic, right?
Yeah,
we got two mics
mic.
On. Okay. for those who don't know, it's Mike Stone and Mike Spivey, so it's kind of hard to distinguish. Yeah, I'm looking for Mike. I'm planning on coming up to that retreat, hopefully in September. I've been there before, the Keith's place here in Sanctuary Hills. If you've never been, anybody listening, if you need to go to one of the Anvil retreats, a pastor's retreat, taking your staff, it's just a beautiful place that God has been so good and gracious to give them. I'm looking forward to that, Mike, and looking forward to hearing from you, brother, and I appreciate having you on today. Man, there's so many ways to get plugged in. I'm always encouraged every Tuesday when we do these podcasts, guys. I really am, of ironing, sharpening iron, and learning from you guys. And I took notes over here. We're not above. We haven't arrived as men. The Lord hasn't called us home yet. We're still in the sanctification journey with all of our listeners. You know, we all want to be better husbands and better fathers and godly men who fear him and take him seriously. And so I do want to encourage you to look on the website, look on the resources, and get your copy of the 10 Lessons of Biblical Masculinity to really help you in your men out, to teach it to your men. And as always, we want you to listen to the episodes and let us know if you have any questions. Guys, I enjoyed having you all, enjoyed listening to you. And if you listen to this podcast today, we enjoyed having you on. We want you to go to be the man that God has called you to be and take other men with you. God bless you.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of Inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.
You've been listening to Real Momentum, a co-production between Real Momentum and TIL Radio Network.